It is conference championship weekend. Can Lamar Jackson take down the Kansas City Chiefs and make it to his first Super Bowl? Can the Lions go on the road and potentially take down the 49ers? We've got a ton to break down, and we are so excited to do it right here on the Fantasy Life Playoff Show. All right, I am your host, Kendall Valenzuela, and like I said, we've got a lot to get through going into this weekend. We've got two incredible games on Sunday, but before we get into it, I have to introduce our crew. As always, we've got Matthew Friedman with us today, Dwayne McFarland, and Ian Hart. It's all in the house, all of us back together again. I mean, Ian, is this good? Is championship weekend, championship Sunday? I feel like that's better than the divisional round, right? We're okay with this?
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's just like that meme where we have, you know, the three very fierce dragons, the Super Bowl Championship Sunday, Super Wild Card Weekend. Sadly, you know, we have the one guy not so well off, and that is the divisional round. But 360 more days to figure it out for next year, Kendall.
I feel like I've missed on the last two shows. Friedman, I've never asked you to, any words of wisdom, inspirational quotes. We did that before during the regular season. I feel like, you know, we kind of got to get it back going for this weekend.
Yeah, three games left. It's, to quote Ian, it's a great day to be great. And I will say, during the season or all the shows previously, I was number three in the order. And now I was number one in terms of the introductions. So I'm really motivated now. And I feel like this is going to be the best show we've ever had.
Oh my gosh. Well, there we go. If that's going to be the best show we ever had, I should have done that, you know, two shows ago, but here we are. Nonetheless, we've got bold predictions. We got a lot to break down today. So we are so excited to have you. Let's get started, guys. Let's get right into Chiefs at Ravens. This line opened with the Ravens as 3.5-point home favorites, total sitting right now, 44.5. Ian, I'm going to throw this one to you first. I mean, because these are two of the top defenses in the league, right? When you look at both these teams, where are they somewhere? What vulnerable though, and what do we expect, you know, the offensive game plan to be in this one?
Arguably the two very best defenses out there. I know we have the Browns and the Jets and the Cowboys and a few other teams no longer with us, but here we are, guys, going into Championship Sunday, and the Chiefs and Ravens are the only two defenses still not to allow 30 plus points in a game. So Ravens actually did twice, but that was because of their offense throwing a pick six and a safety. So when you do look through really either side of the football, you're going to see very few holes. But I will say, I do think that the Ravens could lean on one Justice Hill to potentially exploit again, more of a good versus great part of that Chiefs defense, because versus wide receivers, versus tight ends, we're talking about a top four unit in yards per attempt allowed. They do fall outside the top 10 against running backs, which we did see the Bills briefly expose with James Cook, end up going for 109 yards and a touchdown. Should have had two during those two matchups against the Chiefs. So ever since Keaton Mitchell exited the picture, we have seen Justice Hill take on that role, and he can win with things downfield like wheels that, again, we have seen Cook take advantage of against the Chiefs. So while we do have, you know, guys like Zay Flowers, maybe a returning Mark Andrews, and obviously Isaiah Likely, don't be surprised if it's Justice Hill providing that spark in the passing game.
Friedman, do you kind of agree with the expectations that we could see from both of these two teams, like Ian just said?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a running focused type of game for the Ravens. The Chiefs defense, as Ian mentioned, one of the top units in the league, but where they have been really exploitable is against the run. Number 28 in defensive rush EPA when we're looking at what they've done this season, including the playoffs. And I think we saw last week the Bills really take it to the Chiefs on the ground. And we know that the Ravens are one of the best rushing offenses in the league. It feels like it could be a game where Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, obviously Lamar Jackson, all of them have significant contributions on the ground.
There's a reason why this game is probably going to be the most fun of the weekend, and we can see it kind of in the spread and in the total and everything that we're going to break down. But Dwayne, I want to go to you next, because you wrote up in the utilization report and talked about Travis Kelce. You said he's flipped the switch in the playoffs. So I kind of want to know what you've seen that's led to this.
What I've seen is Travis Kelce is really good at football. He's just a talented player. And most likely the little downturn we had for several weeks where he was sitting like an 18% target share, it's just the way things go, right? Defenses focus on different things. You have different matchups, and it just worked out where it went more to Rashee Rice over that period. But over these last two games, Kendall, a 30% target share. So Travis Kelce definitely back with a bang. And really, you know, the narrative of, oh, middle of this season, he fell off, maybe hit that age cliff. That's what I think a lot of people were gravitating to. So I just thought, okay, I'm going to look at like Kelce's last 3 years and let's compare it to what we have this year. He had a 22% target share over the last three seasons. He's at a 22% target share this year. Yards per route run this year sitting at 1.96, slightly below his three-year average of 2.18. So despite the fact that he's 34 years old, he is getting up there. He does appear to still be a very talented player, and that can at least last through the rest of the playoffs. I think next year we'll have to have a little bit of a different conversation. And also, Kendall, I mean, why not just throw it all to Travis Kelce? Can anyone stomach another target for Mecole Hardman?
That's no, you're right, Dwayne. I was going to ask, you know, how much of that, of course, you look at the utilization, but, you know, I was going to ask if it was because, you know, he had his brother in the stands, you know, shirtless, chugging beers. I didn't know if that was part of your process. Probably not, though, right? Or maybe Taylor Swift. I don't know.
That's part of my wife's process and my daughter's process. So they are all in on Travis Kelce for those reasons. But, you know, I go along with them because he's also just really good.
There you go. There you go. That's another good reason. Utilization report live at fantasylife.com. Friedman, I want to go to you about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. There was this question, and there have been these questions kind of going around of, do you think Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson join Josh Allen as the top three fantasy quarterbacks in 2024?
Yeah, looking ahead to 2024, very bullish, obviously, on Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, too. I'm not quite as optimistic on Patrick Mahomes, and it really has kind of less to do with him than with the circumstances. He doesn't have so much of the running ability as those other two, and we know that, you know, Jalen Hurts, with the tush push, with what he can do as a runner, he has a really high floor, but he's also got some of those other weapons around him that I think gives him a pretty high ceiling. I would expect there to be something of a bounce back offensively for the Eagles. So I think Jalen Hurts is in that top three instead of Patrick Mahomes, but I'd have Mahomes right there at number four. But of course, there are concerns. Maybe Travis Kelce declines a little bit. Maybe Travis Kelce retires. Maybe they don't actually add more wide receivers to that unit, and for some reason, they basically just kind of run it back again next year. So Patrick Mahomes, a really high floor, but I don't know if he has quite like the high ceiling and the high rushing floor that we have with Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson. So I wouldn't include Mahomes in the top three, but I would have him right there at number four.
Ian, I kind of want to ask you this because we did our way too early mock draft. Fantasylife.com is where everyone can go and check that out. I took Patrick Mahomes in round five. I mean, do we think that that's where he's going to be end up going even in the early drafts in 2024?
I think that's about right. And I actually took the first quarterback in that very nice mock draft, Josh Allen, there at the end of round three. So I think Friedman's right where this is the big four, but let's not forget the ceiling that Mahomes does bring to the table. I know this year wasn't the prettiest QB 14 in terms of fantasy points per game, but include it. And we still see among all quarterbacks to ever play at least 50 games, Patrick Mahomes is number one all time in fantasy points per game. So guess what? We also have Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson as three of the five quarterbacks that have cleared 20 points, but maybe we do see a better version of this Chiefs offense in 2024, whether that's going to mean investing even more so in their wide receiver rooms, finding, you know, a future replacement for Travis Kelce, whatever it may be. Guys, I went ahead and just tried to calculate the best supporting cast in the NFL this year. Shout out PFF. I took the rushing, receiving, run blocking, and pass blocking grades for every offense out there. Number one's the 49ers, two's the Lions, three's the Ravens. All the way down there at 13 are your Kansas City Chiefs. So again, would not underestimate the potential bounce back from a box score perspective from Mahomes next season if he can get just a couple more weapons that, you know, don't have Mecole Hardman's first name.
Stop, gosh, he's catching strays this show. I'm so sorry, Mecole Hardman, if you're watching this. It's not you, it's us. I really promised you that. Let's go to this next game, guys, that we have on Sunday. We're closing out with the Lions 49ers. Lions traveling on the road. We can talk about Jared Goff and what he's going to look like, you know, playing outside. Line for this game opened with the 49ers as 6.5 point home favorites. Total is still sitting at 51. So Dwayne, the first one for you here is, how will these two teams kind of go against each other and attack each other on both sides of the ball here?
Yeah, we'll start on the Lions side, and they're just going to do what they're going to do. Like, they want to run the ball. They don't care if they're on the road. They don't care if they're home. They don't care if they're trailing. You know, they're really a run balance team. They're not a run heavy team, but a run balance team. They have a minus 3% drop back rate over expectation for the season. That's the fourth lowest in the NFL. And whenever we look at their style, right? They use the run game to really set everything up for their receivers. And they have two talented backs with David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. So I think they're going to try to stick with that. And they also just saw the Packers do that, Kendall. The Packers came out and Aaron Jones ran all over the 49ers for 108 yards. And that's going to take some pressure off of Jared Goff. And when you look at the 49ers on defense, they are a good pass. They're good against the run and they're good against the pass. But the number five passing unit, YPA standpoint, and then also from a dropback EPA. So they are rated very highly, but they're really good on the outside. They might be susceptible on the inside. So if you look at 49ers versus running backs, Kendall, they give up 6.9 targets per game. That's the sixth most in the league. Now, some of that is because they get ahead on teams and teams are trying to come back and they're checking down to their running back at the end of the game. But they are 7-point dogs in this game. The Lions are. The 5.3 receptions per game and 36 receiving yards per game. That's the ninth most. Also against the tight end. So for the Lions, like, they have a chance because where they're strong, it's also where the 49ers, you know, have a little bit of a weakness. I don't want to say like it's a glaring weakness, but that's definitely where you want to attack them. And then on the Niners side, it's really simple, Kendall. The Lions have the worst pass defense in the league. So you want to throw it. And they have a top two run defense. They only give up 88 yards per game against the run. So I think this will be really easy. The 49ers are still going to run the ball because they're a team that likes to run it. But I do expect more passing in this game. And we saw Mike Evans last weekend, Kendall. He went off for 8 catches for 147 yards and a touchdown. And I think there could be really big things in the future for Brandon Ayuk this weekend.
I'm glad you mentioned Brandon Ayuk, because usually when we talk about these pass catchers for the 49ers, you know, it's Debo, and then, you know, it's Brandon Ayuk, and then we go to George Kittle. But Friedman, I mean, the news we got really early this week that Debo Samuel is 50-50, right, for this weekend. He did not practice today. We got that news. We're filming this on a Wednesday, so he did not practice on Wednesday. I mean, what is the outlook, and how much concern should we have for this team if they do not get Debo Samuel this week?
Well, human wet blanket that I am skeptical that we actually see Debo play this week, and his injury history kind of suggests that with the shoulder issue. I think he's probably out this week. Now, I think you'll just kind of see on social media discourse across general media about what the absence for Debo Samuel means to the 49ers. And certainly if you look at how the 49ers have performed, specifically how Brock Purdy has performed, in the four games this year in which Debo has been out, or the games that he exited early, that team is 0-4 against the spread, 1-3 on the money line, and Purdy has, you know, been markedly underwhelming in those four games. But I think we should contextualize those four performances. The first was against the Browns on the road, dealing with significant rain, 15-mile-per-hour wind, and the league's best defense, or one of the best defenses in the league. And that was a game in which, in the middle of the game, Debo left. So, you know, circumstances pop up. They have to change the game plan on the fly. The next game, against the Vikings, second game in a row on the road, and this time, no left tackle Trent Williams, dealing with one of the most blitz-happy defenses in the league with the Vikings. The third game, against the Bengals, they're at home. Again, no Trent Williams, but that was actually a pretty good game for Brock Purdy. 365 yards, 9.5 adjusted yards per attempt. That wasn't that bad of a game, actually. And then we have last week against the Packers. The rain, once again, was an issue, and you have Debo Samuel leaving in the middle of the contest. So all of these things, I feel like, could be contextualized. If you had to say, like, in these four games, what was the most important factor? I'd probably put Trent Williams and the weather above Debo. So I think the absence of Debo, like, while significant, isn't drastically significant. Like, play this like mental experiment. If before the season had started, the 49ers had traded Debo Samuel for Chase Young or whoever else, but someone not on offense, at that point, the 49ers probably still would have had a top five offense, because you look at that and you say, you still have Kyle Shanahan, you've got Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, and a good enough Brock Purdy. Like, that is a top five unit on offense. They still have that. And they know entering this week that they're probably not going to have Deebo Samuel, so they can game plan for all of that. No weather concerns this week in California. I think we basically see something really close to the 49ers offense, just a little bit toned down from like an against the spread perspective. The best wide receiver in the league, let's say that's Justin Jefferson, he's probably worth a point and a half to the spread. Deebo Samuel is not worth that. He's probably anywhere from like a half a point to three quarters of a point. So let's say, okay, the 49ers, instead of being 7-point favorites, are merely 6.5-point favorites. Like, that means they're still overwhelmingly favored to win this game. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And to Dwayne's point earlier, I think it means it is a Brandon Ayuk week.
Dwayne, do you agree? Because I know you wrote in the utilization report and you kind of broke down this injury. You went through the target share distribution of how we've seen this team kind of play out with Deebo Samuel off the field. So do you agree with what Friedman kind of said?
Yeah. If we just look at the snap level, right, and we look at those pass plays without Deebo Samuel on the field this year, the number one target's been Brandon Ayuk at 25% target share. And then you have George Kittle right behind him at 22% and Christian McCaffrey at 18%. But guess what, Kendall? It was already going to be a Brandon Ayuk week because they love to play man coverage in Detroit. The third most over the last six games, they've really gravitated to this man defense just down the stretch. And if we look at Brandon Ayuk, 28% targets per route run against man. That is by far the most on the 49ers. And he is at a 3.27 yards per route run this year against man coverage. That's the fourth best in the NFL. So yeah, I think Ayuk is in for a monster game.
I thought you were going to say it's because he's a Sun Devil. That didn't go into consideration. That's fine.
Kendall,
that's
fine. Yes, it's because he was a Sun Devil, but you know, I thought that was obvious and everyone knew that. So
that's what I figured. I just wanted to hear you say it. Ian, we talked about these running backs for the Lions and just how they can go up against this 49ers team, how they're going to have to just see their best. But I want to know from you, how do you rank Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery in fantasy for 2024?
Yeah, just quickly on Gibbs, guys. I know we're getting to our prop bets here in just a little bit, but over 22.5 receiving yards, might as well put your mortgage on that one because I see no way this is going away anytime soon. As we already heard, again, one of the few weaknesses with this 49ers defense is against running backs, and I don't think it's a coincidence that we've seen Gibbs clear four receptions and 40 yards in each of these last 2 weeks without Khalif Raymond on the field, a guy they usually like to get those sort of design, yak-centered, you know, short ADOT sort of plays for. So love Gibbs with that, and of course, importantly, guys, how could we not love Gibbs going forward in 2024? In that mock draft we mentioned, he went at the end of the first round, RB4 overall. And hey, the man did just finish as the RB8 on a per game basis this year anyway. So I think the more intriguing part will be David Montgomery. The Lions, if they do want to move on, which I don't think they would, but then again, you know, Jamal Williams scored, 17 touchdowns, and they didn't feel like matching his contract either. They could get out of this Montgomery contract and save about $6 million if they want to. If not, though, I think we're once again going to be looking up in round 7, round 8, and saying this is a guy in a great offense that's going to be touching the ball 200-plus times, you know, beyond a shadow of the doubt. So it's one of these things where Montgomery came in as our RB25. I think that's about right, but just like, you know, this last year, the answer to which one you want to draft might just be yes because of how many examples we have time and time again of Jared Goff and Ben Johnson enabling some of the most fantasy-friendly running backs that we can go out and get.
There we go. Well, we've got four teams left. It's going to be Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, 49ers, and a great championship Sunday. It's the NFL playoffs, and we've teamed up with DraftKings, an official partner of the NFL, and right now they have an offer you do not want to miss. All customers can get a no-sweat bet with a bonus bet back if your SGPX bet doesn't hit. Max reward limits apply. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up using our promo code FANTASYLIFE. And if you're a new customer, you are definitely going to want to listen up. Right now on DraftKings, new customers who bet just $5 will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Wondering what you can do with your $200 in bonus bets? Combine multiple bets together for a shot at an even bigger payout. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, not to worry, you can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. All new customers can use the promo code FANTASYLIFE and get a no sweat bet. Get a bonus bet back. If your SGP/SGPX bet loses, max reward limits apply. That's promo code FANTASYLIFE. Only at DraftKings Sportsbooks. The crown is yours. All right, just a reminder, you can go and get our best bets for the weekend at fantasylife.com. Go check out our bet tracker because our betting team does an incredible job. Make sure while you're there, you subscribe to the Betting Life newsletter in your inbox 3 days a week. Friedman, we've only got two games here, so we're going to go to your best bets of the week, and we're going to start here with the Ravens and Chiefs. What do you got?
Yeah, I will say in passing that I do like the Ravens in this spot, but a bet I like probably even more is the under of 45. That's where I bet it. It's still available at 44.5. It kind of doesn't matter how low this number gets. I will probably still like it. I have it projected at 42.4. And we've talked on the show previously about the outdoor unders in the postseason. They are 101, 77, and 5. So, you know, it's been a profitable trend, but more importantly, just outside of that, we have two top six defenses, maybe, you know, two top four, top three defenses going against each other. That just inherently plays to the under. A Chiefs offense that has underwhelmed for the super majority of the season, and then a Ravens offense that should be able to grind the clock down with its running attack. And, you know, again, we've talked about how this is a good Chiefs defense, you know, potentially a great one, but they are vulnerable against the run, and they are missing multiple defenders right up the middle. Defensive tackle, Derek Nnadi, linebacker, Willie Gay, free safety, Mike Edwards. That will just make them all the more vulnerable against the run. And I think that means the Ravens run the ball and really grind the clock down. And then just big picture, the Chiefs, they've been the most profitable, most extreme under team this year, 13-6 to the under. And then they've been even more extreme with their second half unders, 17-2 to the second half under, just absolutely unreal. So I like the under of 44.5. I also like the second half under of 22.5.
I can tell that Ian loved that one with the thumbs down, Ian. That was he's your biggest fan on that one.
I just didn't like the overall Ravens bet. That's okay. All. And we'll save that for my bold prediction. But I do like the second half under call.
There Friedman. We go.
I'll be tailing that one.
All right, there you go, Friedman. You got the fan base going. Let's go to Lions for Lions 49ers. Yeah, what do you got for this one?
I like the over of 50.5, and it's 51 now. I still like it there. I have it projected at 51.9. And, you know, I talked about this previously in the show. I think the absence of Deebo Samuel probably not going to be super representative of what we see this weekend. If you're looking back at, you know, how the team performed without Deebo, those games arguably again had more to do with the weather and Trent Williams than they had to do with Deebo. And then, you know, take out week 18. That was a meaningless game because the 49ers rested players, but look at all the other 13 remaining games. The 49ers averaged 32.3 points per game, 3.1 points per drive. Like, they're probably not going to be quite that prolific without Deebo Samuel, but like 30 points is more than attainable against a Detroit Lions defense that is super vulnerable in pass defense. And that is how the 49ers are very likely going to attack them. You look at the Lions games, 12-7 to the over this year. And I haven't bet the first half over. It's 24.5, but I am thinking about it. The first half over is 12-6 in 49ers games. And I can imagine both of these teams starting out pretty fast with their scripted play. So that is also a potential angle for attacking, but just in terms of the general game, going over 51, projected closer to 52.
Like I said, you can go to fantasylife.com, go check out that bet tracker to see all the bets that Friedman has for this weekend. Dwayne, I want to throw it to you now because you've got a prop for us.
Well, Kendall, we only have possibly two games, maybe just one, of our opportunity to bet the over on the one true sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So how can you not do it? This week, he set at 83.5 yards, minus 115. This is one of the lower lines we've had for him in a while. Like we talked about earlier, the 49ers, they are good as a pass defense, but they have been vulnerable a little bit inside. And so I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown projected for 91.6 yards right now, or 91.2 yards. He's averaged 94.6 on the season, and he's gone over this number, Kendall, 12 of 18 times. So give me Amon-Ra St. Brown over 83.5 receiving yards at minus 115.
There you go. If you think it's the last time you can bet on Amon-Ra St. Brown, then you're going to have to do it. You're right, Dwayne. Friedman, we got to go to you for a little same game parlay action. What do you got for us?
Okay, I'm sticking with that Ravens-Chiefs game, and I have an SGP that is 20-1. So betting on Ravens to win, a number of reasons why I do like them to win, but you know, check out the article, check out the Best Bets article for the full breakdown there. But betting on the Ravens to win, betting on the under of 44.5, and also betting on the second half under of 22.5, which I just talked about there. So if we're thinking of a game state in which the Ravens win and the under hits, I think that means we see quite a bit of running in this game. So I will take Gus Edwards over 39.5 rushing yards. I have that projected for around 43.5. So I think there's some value there. I'm going to say if they're running the ball, they're probably not throwing it that much. So Lamar Jackson under 0.5 interceptions. And then looking at the flip side of this, it's not a guarantee we're going to have Marlon Humphrey in this game. And if we have a situation where the Chiefs are trailing, maybe they need to throw it a little bit more. So that could mean the ball is going to Rashee Rice. And so I will take the over of 58.5 receiving yards for him. I have that projected, I think, around 68.5. So I see some value there. You put it all together, 20-1.
There we go. And it's a lock. I'm surprised you didn't want to go
that. Do not say that.
I know. Please, you hate not. That. I know you hate that. I'm surprised you didn't want to go with the Lions. No Zach Ertz anytime touchdown score. We're not just taking it that far. I had to bring it up. Well, something that we've done throughout the playoffs, you guys, is we had a little bit of drama to this show. We had to go against each other. It was Dwayne and Ian against Friedman and myself picking some of our favorite bets to go through. Had to be close to plus 150 or higher. I will say we weren't as bad as last week. So now we're all 1-3. So I guess we can, you know, pat ourselves on the back there. Just to review, Dwayne and Ian, your week last week, you hit on Rashad White over 3.5 receptions and an anytime touchdown score. You missed on Chris Godwin, anytime touchdown score. So what are we looking at this week?
Dwayne missed.
Dwayne, you missed that one.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who put Chris Godwin anytime touchdown score in the sheet, but anyway. So for this week, Kendall, We're gonna stick with the team playing against the Lions defense. So I'm going with Brandon Ayuk over the alt receiving line of 91.5 yards and an anytime touchdown. So we're kind of repeating what we did last weekend. We went with the receiving yards, or we went with the receptions plus the touchdown. So we're gonna do it again, but going against this terrible Lions defense. So that comes out to plus 310 combined. And then I'll pass it to Ian for the anytime touchdown.
Going with one Sam Laporta. Sorry, Kendall, couldn't quite get Zach Ertz in there. But hey, the man has scored 11 touchdowns this season. Looked far healthier last week, obviously second full game removed from that knee issue. And to Dwayne's point, when we have seen some issues with the 49ers, as great as Fred Warner and company are, it usually does happen over the middle of the field. So hardly a given, but plus 150, pretty good odds. And I will say, you know, we saw Trey McBride go for over 100 yards. TJ Hawkins had about 86. I don't think this 49ers pass defense is completely, you know, locked down, especially against a passing game like Detroit that, again, has been rather great all season long.
All right. So you guys are 1-3. Friedman, you and I are also 1-3. So we just, let's just get past them so we can just, you know, be able to gloat going into the Super Bowl weekend. Let's review ours, Friedman. We hit Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown score and the under 128.5 scrimmage yards. And then we missed on the, that was unfortunate, Deebo Samuel anytime touchdown score at plus 100. But we're running it back with Christian McCaffrey, which I like.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest sweats and just like an amazing, like lucky bet there. Well, I don't know if there's luck, but Christian McCaffrey, the anytime touchdown, and he had exactly 128 scrimmage yards. So yeah. By 0.5 yards, we got that bet. But we're
rooting for down. One more yard so hard.
So we're doubling down and we're going back to it, except we're tweaking it a little bit. We're going Christian McCaffrey two touchdowns or more than one. So multiple touchdowns in this game. And we're taking the under of 131.5 scrimmage yards. We talked about it earlier on the show. This Lions defense is very good against the run. Now, I don't think that means they shut down Christian McCaffrey, right? I'm still thinking he has a good chance of scoring two touchdowns because of obviously such a dynamic red zone weapon. But he could have 120 yards in this game and two touchdowns. And it's like, oh, Christian McCaffrey, another awesome game, right? So I don't think this means like I'm fading Christian McCaffrey by any means, but 131.5 yards, like that's a high number. That's kind of like right in the median of where we would expect him to be. But going against a really tough defense, and also keeping in mind, they've got a really good back behind him in Elijah Mitchell, they're home favorites. Maybe they get a really big lead and they can ease up just a little bit with Christian McCaffrey, knowing that if they win this game, they're going to want to use him quite a bit in the Super Bowl. So I think that also plays to the under of 131.5 scrimmage yards. But, you know, it's Christian McCaffrey, 2 touchdowns. He hasn't done that in like quite 50% of his games this year, but like all that, not all that far from it. The league leader in touchdowns. I think he has a pretty good chance of getting 2 touchdowns in this game, given their home favorites, and it's a really high total. So we are looking at that, and that gets us parlaying at 475 odds, plus 475. So I like putting that together. And if we can hit that, it gives us a pretty significant lead over Dwayne and Ian here.
Yeah. And well, we got to talk about the other one that we have, because I mean, Dwayne knows this. Ian, you've been on with us on SiriusXM. We cannot get Friedman to do an anytime touchdown score, like ever. He never wants to do it. But now not only do we have an anytime kind of touchdown score, Friedman, a first touchdown score. I don't know who you are anymore. I love this.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to kind of be a little bit big in this situation. So Gus Edwards, first touchdown, plus 750. And if I'm thinking that the Ravens win this game, they are favored at home. I think they, you know, run quite a bit against a vulnerable Chiefs defense. Why not Gus Edwards? You know, he didn't score a touchdown last week, but he did get a carry inside the 5. He leads the league in carries inside the 5-yard line. It feels like a Gus Edwards first touchdown kind of week.
I love it. I love it. Lock it in again, fantasylife.com, where you can go and get all of our best bets from our incredible betting team. And while you're there, make sure you go subscribe to that newsletter in your inbox 3 days a week and our Fantasy Life newsletter in your inbox 7 days a week. All right, to wrap up our Fantasy Life playoff show, we can't leave you without going through some bold predictions. But first, we have to review the week that was and go through everyone's misses and hits. Dwayne, you're 0-2 still, so I'm just going to start off with that. You missed last week. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks upset the Lions, which is fine. I mean, that's, you know, it was a good one. But I want to know, you're 0-2 now, so we need you to get on the board. What do you got for your bold prediction this week?
Yeah, when you make bold calls, Kendall, sometimes. You go 0-2, but you know, you did make a bold one last week. I thought about just going with a really easy one, like your week one or the wild card round, but now I realize I'm going to get made fun of. So I'm going to make it even more bold. But my bold prediction is that Brock Purdy comes out and throws for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Brandon Ayuk goes for 125 and 2 touchdowns. Is that a bold enough?
Okay. Yes. Statement? Yeah, that's bold. Because I was going to get all of us to get together and just say, what are we looking at? Originally, I want everyone to know, originally you had put Brock Purdy rebounds with a great game, passing for over 300 yards and a win. I think that was the odds on that is minus 105. What are we doing?
I was just trying to do like you did, Kendall. I thought since you did it, it was accepted. Like just to pick, you know, the easiest.
At least
pick.
Mine had a no. Anyway, I do like that one though. So that's a good
for real. Hey, I have to just say, like yeah. Friedman mentioned earlier, it's probably look, we all love Debo. He does matter. He's important. Like we're not saying that he's not. The 49ers are better with him, but like if you look at the splits on snaps with and without Debo Samuel for Brock Purdy over the last 2 years, completion rate with him 69%, without 66%. Yards per attempt 8.9 with Debo, 9.2 without Debo. Touchdowns per attempt 6.3% with Debo, 7.3% without Debo. The only thing that got worse were the interceptions, 3.1% without Debo, 1.5% with. You guys know how fluky interceptions can be. So again, I think that Purdy, I get it. Like, I don't think he's the greatest quarterback on the planet, but like Friedman said, with McCaffrey plus Kittle plus Ayuk, even if Debo's out, I still love him in this spot.
There you go. Well, congratulations for getting a win before the game's even started. You're on the board now with 1-2 going into next week. All right, Friedman, let's go to you. You are also 0-2. You missed last week. You said all 4 underdogs cover. What do you got for your bold prediction going into the conference championships?
By the way, I just want to commend Dwayne on the spiciness of that take. Spicy. Like I'm looking at DraftKings right now. I'm putting all of the things that he said into an SGP. I can't even get up to like the alternate Brock Purdy plus 350. They don't even offer that. So, you know, but anyway, it looks like this is a minimum of 20-1 on that. So shout out Dwayne if that ends up hitting. I am going for my bold call. that I will not hit a bold call at any point. And so, although that's not really that, it's not that bold. It's not that bold. But the real bold call is that I'm going to say that one of these games goes to overtime, and that on social media, one of these coaches is going to be dragged for a key decision that is made in overtime, whether that's to kick off instead of receiving the ball to start overtime, whether it's kicking a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down, something like that. One of these games goes into overtime and social media ends up dragging one of these coaches for a key decision in a overtime scenario that we've never seen before. In the playoffs, where both of these teams are guaranteed to get the ball. And so that means that there's some like intense game theory. And if I could, you know, bet on one of these coaches to screw up a game theory type of situation, whether it's Andy Reid, whether it's Kyle Shanahan, whatever, so, someone's going to do it. So I'm hoping we get to overtime in one of these games.
All right. I like that call out, because of course we can go to Twitter when we're just angry scrolling after those games and just complain. So we'll make sure that that happens for you. Let's go. Ian, you're 1-1, right? You did miss last week though. You said Jordan Love keeps it rolling, throws for 300 plus yards, accounts for 3+ touchdowns, but you kind of, I mean, valiant losing effort. That was, you were kind of half right, I guess.
Winners write the history books, unfortunately, Kendall. So we'll take the L, just like, you know, Dwayne and Matthew have had to take their two L's so far. So, you know, I don't want to get too, you know, ahead of myself. But very happy getting the second W this week. Give me Isaiah Pacheco, over 100 rushing yards and not one, but two touchdowns and a 23-20 Chiefs victory. Look, I don't want to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but as we've seen, guys, this offense, not quite the same monster as past years. I know Dwayne's been mentioning, you know, drop back rate over expected. One of the really cool stats we have for free over at fantasylife.com in our utilization report section. But the Chiefs last week, season low, minus 10% dropback rate over expected, really has become, I don't want to say the Isaiah Pacheco offense, but man, you do not see many weeks go by without him touching the ball at least 20 times. So while the Ravens do have a great defense, they have been able to usually get by without, you know, loading the box. In fact, they have the single lowest percentage of snaps this year with at least 8+ defenders in the box. I don't think that's going to work against a team like the Chiefs that can run the ball as well as they do. And I can see Pacheco becoming the 7th running back this year to eclipse the 100-yard mark against the Ravens. So given the Chiefs getting the dub and Pacheco being the main reason why.
There we go. I love it. And I am also 1-1 because Ian and I know what it's like to win, regardless of the circumstances. So I will say, though, it took a huge L last week, said the Texans were going to punch their ticket to the conference championships. Wasn't even close. So I am going to double down here, though. If you've listened to us on SiriusXM, I had someone say to me, hey, you have to prove that you're here to restore the roar, because that's what we've been saying for the last 2 years. So I'm sorry, Ian, but I'm going to go with the Lions win. Jahmyr Gibbs scores 2 touchdowns. That's why I've got the blue in the background there. So is that bold enough for you, Dwayne? Is that good? Are we okay?
I guess, Kendall.
Right.
I guess.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, let me jump in here. So I, you know, just praise Dwayne. Screw that. Ian's bet is amazing. Like, he's outright predicting the score 23-20 on this.
True.
And so saying Isaiah Pacheco goes over 100 yards, saying he has multiple touchdowns, you put that into DraftKings SGP 90-1.
Ooh.
That is that's some spicy guacamole right there.
Can we get a poster that just says Ian's bet is amazing, you know, quotations, Matthew Friedman. That's all I think
we need to put it on a t-shirt. I think we're the Fantasy Life shop will have that in next week, everyone. But the
real question is, if Friedman, are you tailing it?
Ooh.
No.
Come on,
Friedman. $5.
Content? Come on. $5. Oh my gosh. We'll all be tailing these bets. We appreciate everyone hanging out with us today. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the conference championships, and we will see you next time.